Hey everybody, welcome back to Stray Noir, FilmDispenser.com's Orphan Black Podcast. I'm Logan.
I'm Tim.
And I'm Mina.
And we are here to talk about Season 5, Episode 5.
Five.
I was pausing for dramatic effect. Ease for Idle Millionaires, because it's a sad occasion, because we're now halfway through the final season of Orphan Black. Written by Jen Ingalls and directed by Helen Shaver. Helen Shaver I actually know as an actress, although we've definitely talked about her before because she's directed several episodes of, or well, two other episodes of Orphan Black, A Certain Agony of the Battlefield and Ipsa Scientia Potestas Est. From one
Try
of those
saying
is,
that three times.
One of those is from season, the first one's from season 3 and the second one I said was from season 2, I think.
Yep.
So sometimes I know my Orphan Black. and Jen Ingalls, probably best known for writing Total Drama Island.
Animated Cartoon Network series?
Yeah, she wrote an episode of that.
Okay.
I just saw it on her filmography and I was like, what?
the animated reality TV show on Cartoon Network.
How do you go from writing Total Drama Island to, I'm going to write an episode of Orphan Black? This is her first episode of Orphan Black. She's written some other TV stuff, but nothing I'm at all familiar
with. I've got to look now. Okay, I'm curious. I mean, you got to start somewhere.
It's Total Drama Revenge Island, Truth or Laser Shark.
I don't know the episodes. I just know the name of the thing.
Back in 2012. Like, that show was so ridiculous to me. Mina, do you have any idea what we're talking about?
No idea.
Yeah. It's a cartoon set like it's a reality show. Like it's Survivor.
That's funny.
So
that's funny.
I'm sure you've seen a picture of the animation at some point.
I think it's on like Hulu or something. It's absolutely ridiculous.
She seemed to have done, or at least like the, she's done a lot of animated stuff. Like out of the few things I've clicked, three out of the four things I've clicked have been animation.
So, well, I know she did some Bitten episodes. I saw those, and I didn't watch Bitten, but I know it's a live action show. So, it's about vampires or werewolves, one of the two.
If it's I'm guessing vampires, but I mean, it could be werewolves.
It could be werewolves. You don't know. I'm looking it up now. So actually, the thing doesn't even show me. They're covered in blood. They look like vampires. It kind of looks like the Canadian
this
version.
This right here says pack though. Back into the world of werewolves. All right, you got it.
Werewolves. Okay, yeah. Haha.
There's got to be a vampire somewhere, though, right? I mean, you don't call a show Bitten and it not be vampire.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I guess it's like the werewolf version of that show on the CW.
Vampire Diaries?
Yeah.
Why do they call this like Bad to the Bone or something?
Well, next time they do a werewolf show, they'll let you name it, Tim. So the only thing I know about that show is Laura Vandervoort was in it. So
I'm looking at the post right now. Some like the guys. Did you ever see the show? What was it? It was that Australian one where they were like Greek gods.
I tried to watch it, man, but the Almighty Johnsons.
That's it. That's what it was. It was like it's on Netflix, but yeah. It's just something about them standing there reminds me of.
I could not freaking get into that show. So
it was okay. I like that kind of mythology stuff. So.
All right, so enough of our meandering. Spoiler alert, we're going to talk about the episode. We're going to spoil it. So,
why wasn't the episode called Cosima Struggles and with a Side of Playdate with Kira? It just kept flashing back to these, you know, more happier times, and you just go back to Cosima, and she's struggling away over there on the island.
So, yeah. I cannot decide if a lot of stuff happens in this episode, or if absolutely nothing happens in this episode. I keep going back and forth, because there's a lot of stuff that gets thrown at you, and it's science talk, and so I try to understand it. And I just can't. I'm not that intelligent. But it makes sense, but there's so much there that I'm just like, oh God, what is all it? Can't somebody just look at the screen and go, for all you stupid people, this is what this means.
There's also a lot of big moves being made off screen that you're just kind of told about. Like, yeah. Not even really science necessarily, but, you know, Fee, where was Fee at right now? Where is it that Delvine's been trying to get to?
Not Switzerland.
No, I think is Switzerland.
It is it Switzerland?
Yeah. No. Well, Delphine was said to be going, I forgot what, I think the city within Switzerland, but that's where Felix was going, so.
So it is Switzerland. Hey, I was yeah. right.
But she said she was meeting him there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
She's... Yeah, meeting him and Adele, but yeah, I don't know, there's like a lot of stuff happening off screen also that we had, you know, we can't see, so tons of stuff was happening.
I just want to hear Adele say hello from the other side. Okay, I'm done.
Well, I'm telling you, when she opened that door, she should have been like, hello, it's me. And then keep going.
Okay, so that's kind of my, like, impression of the episode. There's a lot of things I want to, like, get into. But what did you think about the episode, Mina?
So, to start off, I just wanted to mention... that this was, what was I saying? See, I've been, like, rehearsing this in my mind for the past minute, and, like, now as soon as I'm talking. Okay, this was, I think, the first episode, or the only episode of the show that was both written and directed, by women, so that was cool.
I was gonna bring that up, yeah. But I didn't want to sound like an... a-hole and be
oh,
like
no. I mean I wish there was more, you know,
well,
for
I couldn't
show
remember.
With women, but yeah, no, I wouldn't have known except I read it in an article somewhere or something. But yeah, so that was
first,
cool
folks, from me.
What was I gonna say? I was gonna say something in particular about Helen Shaver, and now I'm just oh, she's the only woman director that's ever directed an episode.
Not
which
bad
is crazy. They should have had more, but yeah. Anyway, so yeah, she was the only woman director, and this is the only episode that was both written and directed by women. So that was cool.
So she she's directed three episodes, and she's the only female that's directed any episodes of Orphan Black.
Apparently, yeah.
Huh? Did yeah. not realize that. So
yeah.
Well, I mean, not to get too, like, political and whatever, but, I mean, it's not uncommon for
yeah.
Hollywood or television or film or whatever. Like, there's, a lot of people will point fingers and go, well, there just aren't a lot of women directors. But at the same time, there also aren't a lot of opportunities for women directors. So,
yeah, definitely.
You know, you don't have a lot of people going into a field where there's not regular opportunities for them to kind of ply their craft, you know.
Yeah.
That's like going back, you know, 100 years or probably even 20 or 30 years. I mean, like, well, there's not a lot of female scientists. Well, probably not 20
yeah.
or 30, but 50 years. There's not a lot of female scientists. Well, it's because a lot of female scientists just weren't taken that seriously, especially in the United States. Overseas,
yeah.
a little bit different, but, you know, it's, yeah, it's kind of sad and also really cool at the same time. So,
yeah.
you know, we only had one female director on this show, and she's a pretty damn good one, and...
Absolutely.
I mean, accomplished as hell, both as an actress and a director. She's directed so much stuff, man. Like, it's just ridiculous. So, but I think she's a great actress, too. So, I kind of hope that she would show up as someone on the show at some point.
Oh, that would have, yeah.
But,
yeah, that would have been cool.
She was in and directed, I think, at least one episode. She was in this show I used to watch called The 4400.
Mm.
She was in a couple of episodes, and I really loved it. She was also in The L Word, and I was kind of obsessed with The L Word for a while. So
I did watch that, yes.
The last season was such crap, but like
yeah.
everything else was so good. So anyway, what do you think about the episode, Tim?
Yeah, I'm kind of with y'all. There was just, I guess the the sciencey bit, you know, I say the sciencey bit makes you also sound even dumber than normal, but it was a lot to take in, and so I was just trying to process it all, and like, it's, I don't know, I just want to see Helena again.
Yeah. Well, I didn't really, I started saying that, I didn't, I loved the episode, so, I mean, obviously, I'm a big Cosima junkie, and also,
there was a lot of times,
so that was a given, but, I mean, removing them from it a bit, I still thought it was a solid episode and really liked it, but, there were some bonuses, obviously,
I loved it. I was just chuckling, being like, I bet Mina's enjoying this.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't really say whether I liked the episode or not. I absolutely liked the episode. Like, yeah. I said, I just keep going back and forth on, like, wait, did a lot of stuff happen? Or did nothing happen and we just got told a bunch of stuff? So, can we get one thing out of the way just, like, off the bat? Because I did watch the episode twice. I'm pretty sure I saw what I saw both times. And I don't want to be like that guy who pauses his television set.
I know where you're going with this.
So, like,
what'd you say?
We totally saw Delphine's nipples, right?
So, BBC America blurred them out. I don't know if online they did, but at least on the TV. So, I didn't see the first time
Mina,
and what are you talking about? I can check it real quick.
No, you're, because they blurred it, you have to look closely. They blurred it in on BBC America, and not on Space Channel in Canada. They didn't. So I saw on Tumblr people were like, guys, did this, like, you know, and there's comparison photos. So.
It happens twice.
Like,
there's a shot and then like there's another shot. I'm just like, the first time it happens, I was like, oh, did they just show her nipples? And then it happens again, and I'm like, pretty sure they just showed her nipples. Then I watched the episode the second time, I'm like, I'm almost 100% positive we just saw her nipples.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be that pervy dude, but it really, really, like, especially in the scene it happens in, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, you're like, what show is this? Yeah.
Now Tim is frantically searching online for Delphine's
nipples.
Just type in Delphine's nipples in the search bar.
I have the online BBC America thing, so I was curious if it's online on there.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I don't know what scene you're talking about. So, like, maybe they blurred out online. I just didn't notice it. But
yeah, I mean, the undressing from the fancy gown.
Ah, okay.
Yeah,
they're kind of having their moment. Cosima's like, I can't believe you betrayed me or whatever again. She's like, you remember what I said when we found out you were sick? And but she's like undressing and like getting dressed again. And like she's wearing a very kind of
lacy.
Yeah, lacy.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you can see through it. So, I mean, not in like a super, not even obvious enough that I would have thought you had to blur it out.
Yeah.
Especially on BBC, they're usually way more liberal. But I guess nudity is nudity. So
I guess it depends where, what nudity.
Yeah. So.
But yeah.
And it's not offensive. It's not distasteful. It's not even really that distracting, except like they show it again. And then that's when I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. It's just funny because it would have been very easy to just put her in a different bra. So, it's just something they don't usually show on this particular show. So it was surprising when I saw that non-BBC America watchers, you know. Yeah,
and
funny.
Yeah, I mean, not even to sound prudish at all, but you're right. Like, why didn't they just be like, okay, or maybe they did. Maybe they shot that. They're like, okay, look.
Yeah.
We can totally see your, I hate to keep saying nipples, but we can totally see your nipples through that bra that you're wearing. So we're going to change outfits. We're going to do the scene again. And maybe, like, bravo to them. They do the scene again. They're like, the other one's much better. And she's just like, F it. Like, run with it, man. I don't care.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. I know they,
yeah,
I read.
I think it, I think it's blurred out on the BBC website also, because I don't see
it. Oh,
on
I bet. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, so, you know, it's like, you said, sometimes, you know, they'll show on TV and it'll get blurred out, but then online it's kind of, sometimes all bets are off.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's just funny. Space Channel in Canada had no problems.
Well, it is honestly barely noticeable until you go to it again, and then it's like, whoa.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
It's funny. But anyway, so moving past Delphine's nipples. like you were saying, though, lots of Cosima and Delphine in this episode. And as a constant, like, basher of that relationship and kind of, like, the leader of the probably, like, Down with Delphine movement, she was not the thing that bothered me most about them two in this episode. It actually was Cosima, and like looking back on it, maybe it's always Cosima, because she seems to turn into like a 14-year-old girl when Delphine's around and just throw these like weird hissy fits. And I'm like, okay, you've trusted this chick this far. You're not willing to trust her just a little bit farther. Like, I didn't even like that they went back to the well of, like, is she going to betray Cosima? Like, is she still working for them?
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't buy that at all. We know what she's doing. We know she's working with Mrs. S. Like, why are you even trying to lean us that way? And then we have Delphine standing in the corner pouting like, I can't believe you're betraying me. I'm like, oh, wait, maybe it's not Delphine I don't like. Maybe it's Cosima I don't like.
Yeah.
I'm curious if Cosima would work or not work, would act the same way if she was watching the show. Like, you know, if she knew all the information that was, you know, coming from all sides, and maybe we're a bit biased here.
But she kind of does. Like, she doesn't know everything, but she knows that Delphine is, like, trying to do something. You know? And it's one of those things where it's like, you just got to trust me and let me do this right now. Like, I can't give you all the information because, A, she doesn't have all of the information, and B, I mean, not for nothing, but I think Cosima has proven a few times that if you tell her things, she's just going to get upset with somebody and be like, oh, yeah, well, I know this and this and this and this. Right? Yeah. So, I would kind of be on the, like, I can't tell you everything yet. But you're just going to have to trust me. So. Yeah.
I mean, I understand Cosima's actions, but I like to try to understand everyone's actions, even, like, Rachel, who's, like, terrible a lot.
Oh, my God.
but, yeah, I don't know. Cosima just wears her heart on her sleeve, and she's...
She does.
Impulsive, I don't like that the show... Still, like, they still, like, ooh, we're playing into this, like, is Delphine, you know, as you were saying, is Delphine trustworthy or, yeah.
Delphine needs to be like, look, Cosima, remember the season finale last time?
Yeah.
I'm on your side.
Next to you.
Chill out. Yeah. So,
But, yeah.
I think you're right. I'm probably being a little too harsh on Cosima, because, I mean, honestly, we all have a person... like, either still in our lives or just in our past, that, like, when we're around them, whether it's romantic relationship or not, it turns into, like where if you look back on the situation, you're just like, I'm not that person. I don't know why I'm acting like that.
Yeah. I mean, Cosima doesn't see that. She doesn't understand how, you know, impulsive she can be if she finds out things. So Delphine purposely isn't telling her things. So she sees that as, like, why isn't she telling me things? So that's why the mistrust. But, you know, Delphine's not always in the wrong for not telling her things because of how she's going to act if, you know.
Yeah. I think you're pretty spot on with all of that. And, like I said, as the kind of spearhead of the, like, Down with Delphine movement. I thought she was fine in this episode, and... honestly, I'm kind of hoping for a lot of stuff with whatever it is she's going to do in Switzerland. Like, I want to see her and Felix. I really want to see her and Adele interact with each other. That could be a lot of fun, you know. You got an alcoholic who cannot stop talking. And
Yep.
this woman kind of on a like a secret mission to save the love of her life and kind of set right all this stuff. So, like those two in a room together, that could be fun.
Yeah.
So,
And the whole time, Fee's like, oh, I need my partner, Art. Why isn't he here? Yeah.
where the hell is Art, man?
I was thinking of him, like,
He's enjoying his time with his daughter right now as much as possible.
Gotta hope so. So did anybody want to go to the dentist after the first, like, 30 seconds of this?
I just went to the dentist last week.
Oh my God, man. There's few things that make me like shivers up your spine, like, ugh. Like that's one of them. Like, and when she's drilling into that tooth, I'm just like, oh my God, I can't watch this. Like, this is worse than the cheek worm or anything
Term.
else.
Come on, use a proper terminology here.
I just and it's not even a tooth in somebody's head, it's just an old tooth, and I'm just like, oh God, I can't watch this.
That's funny. Yeah, it didn't bother me really at all. It wasn't attached to anyone anymore, so it freaks me out.
I was kind
Like
of
for
mean to shoot there.
yeah, it freaks me out because I always forget that teeth look like that with the roots and everything. Like, but other than that,
Like, what is she doing? Oh, it's a tooth.
yeah, exactly. I'm like, what is this little white thing? Like.
And then we get that like interspersed with the dude in the woods who, like, when we see him, like, who is that guy? And then we see a closer look at him, I'm like, oh, I don't recognize him. And I'm like, oh, that's because he's gonna die.
Yeah, I instantly you see him and I'm like, he's dead.
And I love that they're still trying to convince everybody, like, we're going bear hunting.
Yeah.
Like, we know it's not a bear, fool.
My
Stop
husband
telling us
wouldn't
it's a
lie.
bear.
My husband wouldn't lie. That really cracked me up when she came out of nowhere and said that. I was like,
Yeah.
honey, please. Come on now.
And then, I mean, there's so many scenes in this episode that, like, dissecting them piece by piece, like, I mean, it would be great, except so much stuff doesn't happen in a lot of the scenes. Like the Susan and Iris stuff, where they're like talking at each other. I mean, we get a lot of information thrown at us, but a lot of it, I don't even know what it means. So, like, there's a lot of science terms. Ira glitching, that was one thing I wanted to bring up. What does he say to Cassina?
Red roof.
Oh,
Red roof.
he was, yeah, so what Tim said, but he was, I mean, he was responding to what the question was that Susan asked him earlier to try to check him out, and he didn't really end up responding. He said, oh, you're checking if I'm glitching. I'm not glitching. And he never answered the question. So it was like a really delayed response, which is sort of what
So,
I do sometimes, because sometimes I process things pretty slow. So I thought it was funny. I'm
Mina, are you a
not
clone?
slow, but. Yes, I am a caster clone. This entire time, no one knew.
I just think about the several group messages where days later, me and we're playing. Oh, yes, sorry, I forgot.
It's true.
So he is glitching. Yes? I mean, is
Yeah,
that what we're
that's
supposed to
where
take
you
away
found
from
out.
that? Okay. All right. Because, like, his response when she's like, "Are you glitching?" was very like, "Close the door slowly and back away." Like, I don't know what's going on here. So he is glitching. Well,
Yeah.
that's unfortunate, because he's the only one we have on the show now. So, which
Yeah.
I know we talked about this before. Really does kind of bug me. I thought we were going to see more of the casters, and we've only just seen Ira.
Honestly, I had forgotten until we saw Ira this season. Didn't we see him the second episode, or was it the first episode?
It's the first episode, I think, because they're
Think
trying
so.
to convince him to help them out, right?
Okay, for the reason I thought it was the second episode, but I guess maybe because maybe I just haven't noticed him in like the promotion, or maybe he hasn't been in the promotion, but I kind of like forgot all like forgot they were a thing for the most part, and then he pops out of nowhere, and I was like, oh yeah, the caster clones, where have they been? They were a huge part halfway through Orphan Black, and now they're just kind of off the saddle. Like.
Yeah, I mean they had their season, I guess season three. I do hope. I thought like occasionally one would pop up or something. I hope Mark comes back because he was the original and he's not confirmed dead or anything.
They had their season, but I kind of just assumed it would be a thing of like, oh, we're all clones. We're going to be here forever now. Or not, you know, not forever.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I thought at that point it was going to be like, oh, well, this is a big twist. You know, now there's two sets of clones forever.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, I guess it does cost money to like keep filming. Like, well, I guess as long as you're not putting them in the same scene with each other, it doesn't cost that much money because it's just a costume change. So, but yeah, it's unfortunate when we're not getting more of the casters. So, he does get a great moment with Rachel, though, where she's coming in to talk to Susan, and he just looks at her as walking out and says, I've hidden all the knives.
Yeah, that was great.
Like, yeah, you tell him, Ira. Still really creeped out by that relationship. So creepy. When he's, like, putting her shoe back on or whatever, I was like,
Yeah.
I can't think about this stuff, man. Not that she's not a very pretty older woman. She very
let's,
much
let's
is.
Let's not get into this. But
yeah, I think we went down this path last year. So, yeah, Tim mentioned earlier the fun day with the
play kid. Date with Kira.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm just going to say I didn't enjoy any of that. Like, none of it. I understand why we're doing it, and I understand the importance of Kira, but it doesn't work for me. And it's unfortunate, but it just doesn't. So, and if I'm the only one, then so be it.
I'm curious what she's going to be able to like, teach. Because, you know, it was said to her that, like, you know, we'll tell you everything that we've been doing if you teach me any of the feelings you get when you... You know, when you kind of like feel everyone, and I don't know, up to this point, I just assume like she had no control or no idea at all, but maybe she has more than she's been letting on.
I mean, I guess as it's, I was gonna say it's kind of like a mutant ability, but it absolutely is a mutant ability, as is like pretty much stated verbatim in this episode. She has this mutant gene that allows her to kind of do these things and to heal quicker and. What if all Mina probably won't get this reference. What if all of this is what if we find out Orphan Black is a prequel to the Logan movie that came out in March?
Goodness. I was just about to ask you when you were finished talking, I was be like, Logan, how would you react if Sir Patrick Stewart just like knocked on the door at the end of next episode?
It would be phenomenal. Like, it would elevate the show to a whole other level. So, Mina, I take it you didn't see Logan, did you?
No, I did not.
Yeah, it does not strike me as your kind of movie. It's also very violent. So, but
you know how Mina loves the violence.
Definitely.
There's this little girl actress in it who is so freaking good, and just like shows up Hugh Jackman in every stinking scene. And I mean, if Kira started doing stuff like that, and like knives popped out of her hand, and she just started like eviscerating people,
speaking Spanish,
yeah, I would be so much more on board with Kira. But mostly, I'm just kind of bored by her. Like, I she doesn't really do anything except preoccupy Sarah's mind, which is fine because it kept Sarah out of everybody else's business.
Yeah, Sarah had.
Sorry, go on, Mina.
Go ahead. Oh, I was just gonna say, Sarah had a really chill episode for Sarah. You know, it's like in the third season, she had an episode where she took a shower, and that was it. And then there was Allison stuff in between her getting in the shower and getting out of the shower. This was maybe the second most chill episode.
No nipples in that episode, but no showers in this episode. Nipples.
There's a scene when Mrs. S is leaving, and it just like she says bye, and it shoots over to Kira, and I think Kira just says bye, but she's like sitting on the stairs, and there's just something about the look she's giving. It's just like, this is how I feel watching this part of the episode. Go back to the island.
Yeah, it did seem to slow stuff down a bit.
I did like where she's like, I'll go upstairs, and they're like, no, I guess we can tell you things.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, at this point, why are we still hiding stuff from this girl, man?
Like, yeah, I sort of thought that, too. I was like, just let it go, you know? She knows enough already. Let's just...
And especially if she's calling the shots at this point.
Yeah. And you're shipping her off to Rachel, like, every couple of weeks. You have no clue what Rachel's filling her head full of, but you're the one still keeping secrets, of course she's going to side with Rachel. Just tell her the truth about everything, you know, and just deal with it. So, but yeah, all the Kira stuff, it was mostly just kind of like shoulder shrug boring for me. I did like her trying to explain the mouse thing to Sarah too. That was funny. You pick him up by the tail like this.
Well, that was a nice kind of crossover, because was it Cosima? No. Was it Delphine that had just mentioned the type of mouse and that cuts to Kira?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was a very smooth transition there.
So, and Kira knows about the mice because that whole thing with Rachel, right? That's why she cut herself?
Yeah. So, it was the mouse she took home.
We get
from Rachel.
Mrs. S talking to Scott and Hell Wizard. I remembered his name.
Yay!
It only has taken me 5 years. What was he in season one?
He appeared in two. He was one of Scott's board game buddies.
Yeah.
But he wasn't a bigger character until like three. Oh. End of three.
Hell Wizard. Not enough Hell Wizard. So they're kind of breaking down. They're doing that whole like thing where you have all right, this is our board, and here's all the players, and we're just going to start tacking things to the board and see how they tie together thing. Which, I sound like I'm making fun of it, but literally one of my favorite, like, movie TV cliches in history. Like, anytime anybody, like, opens up a door or, like, slides a panel back or flips over a chalkboard and it's just, like, conspiracy board, I'm like, oh my god, this is amazing. So,
My question is the next cliche, how many episodes until they go to the board and it's all like dismantled and someone broke in and took it apart?
Give it two episodes.
So I mean, you know what's going to happen, right? It happens in almost every single...
Yeah, anytime anybody has conspiracy board, somebody breaks in and steals all their stuff. It happened on
feeds to the conspiracy.
not that I should be admitting that I watched this show, but I watched Riverdale, right? On CW.
It's amazing. It
happens in Riverdale, and like literally that exact scenario happens. Like they find like murder board, you know, like conspiracy board, and then two episodes later, like, oh, somebody broke into my house and like took all my evidence and destroyed my board. And I'm like, oh my god, yeah, of course they did. So yeah, I give it two episodes.
I can't believe you're ashamed about Riverdale. That was a great show.
You really thought it was great?
I just got into it. Like, I was just digging. I was like,
it's so cheesy, man. It's like, what if 90210 were Twin Peaks?
Like, oh, definitely.
It's just so bizarre. But
I remember you were so pumped for it after that first trailer.
Yeah.
Like, I was never able to find the trailer, and you were like, did you see it yet? I was like, no, not yet.
It's a lot of fun to watch, but... It's only really, really fun when it's not about their stupid high school stuff, or when like they're in the middle of a murder investigation. It'd be like watching an episode of Scooby-Doo, and the super serious version of Scooby-Doo, and all of a sudden in the middle of their investigation, they're like, oh wait, we have to go to somebody's birthday party. And like smash cut to these teenagers like getting wasted and making out with each other while this like techno music plays in the background, and it's like, what the hell is this show, man?
Yeah, do what you gotta do, man. Yeah, do it. Mina, you say you haven't seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
Guess what's all on Netflix right now, Mina?
Oh, okay, I'll note it down.
Time to start binging.
I've heard of it a bunch.
Just keep watching Wynonna Earp. It's much less self-serious cheesy. Okay, so I completely forgot where I was. Oh, the Hell Wizard stuff, conspiracy board. So they're trying to kind of put the pieces together about Westmoreland, and is he the person he says he is, and like kind of tie everybody, like how all of this started, or at least going back to the birth of the clones, how all of this started. And so I think that's our first... like legitimate groundwork laying of, is P.T. Westmoreland who he says he is? Like, yeah. I think we've talked about it. Like, is he really that guy? Like, is he 170 years old? But I think this is the first time the show's, like, straight up said, nope, he might not be who he says he is. We need to find out.
Yeah, I think so.
And
so technically, Leaky could still be him.
That would be so amazing. So, and then we get that kind of confirmed at the end of the episode.
Yeah. Kasima's like, you know, to him says, like, and you're not even 170, are you? Or whatever she says.
Yeah, she says it's all like smoke and mirrors or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So Kasima thinks that as well. I'm curious where you guys stand. Because I was fully on board with the, like, holy hell, this guy's 170. How did he live this long? Never once thought about, like, oh, no, wait, he's a... Like, the reason his name is P.T. Westmoreland is because, you know, he's a circus sideshow runner, and he's just tricking everybody.
Yeah, I was pretty on board with it, because it seemed like, oh, wow, the leader of this entire thing is 170, and that makes sense that somehow he made himself, you know. But now, since this episode, I'm like... I mean, I knew it was a possibility, but I didn't give it too much thought because I thought they weren't going to go that way. But it makes sense if it's like a Wizard of Oz man behind the curtain.
That's such a great comparison, man.
Yeah. I didn't make it up. I'm sure I read it somewhere.
You got to give yourself more credit, Mina.
But, you know, the smoke and mirrors, like Kasima said. Yeah, I mean, I think... Assuming that he really isn't 170, he just found this, you know, the actual P.T. Westmoreland who was dead and, you know, disappeared or whatever, and he's like, oh, I'll take over his life and pretend to be him.
So where are you at on this, Tim? Is he really 170 or is he just a shyster?
I think he's a clone of the original P.T. Westmoreland.
Ooh.
Like...
So that's how he's lived that long? They just keep cloning him? And, like, yes. Somebody keeps raising the clone and then telling him he's P.T. Westmoreland?
I was thinking the original might have raised him, like, as his, I don't know, something along those lines.
I think you're confusing this with Star Wars and Boba Fett.
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of what the next big twist is going to be. Like,
no, I think that's interesting. I think that's really interesting.
They can go with it being someone that just found his stuff and kind of, like, you know, took over. But I feel like if, you know, if he was the original clone, and but, like, he doesn't have all the knowledge or all the memory of, like, the actual PT, maybe, like, he died before he was able to, you know, tell him all the information. So he's having to try to get other people to help him, you know, stay alive somehow, something along those lines. But... I'm not sure. It could just be an alien. That could be the big reveal.
Oh my god.
Smoke monster. Lost.
Smoke monster. So why? Well, I mean, I guess the kind of pomp and circumstance of it all is because you're trying to keep up the ruse. Because my thought process is to be like, well, then why does it matter? Just pretend to be the person. And if nobody believes you, just be like, well, you're a liar. You're outcast from the society. But like to have like. The dinner party is just bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, he's really trying to play it up, you know, really convince them that, you know, he really is the almighty 170-year-old man.
Have we seen what's the creepy old guy's name that kind of does all this dirty work for him that goes around?
Just the messenger. He's called.
So have we seen them in the same room together? What if at the very end, Kasima pulls off PT's mask and it's just a mess?
It is a Scooby-Doo episode.
you...
Oh, man. Yeah, that's funny because, like, originally I think we thought he was PT Westmoreland, right? At the end of last season?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, Mina.
Yeah, for a bit. At the very end.
Because he shows up, like, at the very end of last season, right?
He appeared in one of the dreams.
And Rachel's, you see him, so you think it's, originally I think we thought it was him, at the end of last season, you know that PT is someone else who you don't see. But at the very end, Rachel's about to meet him, and then it.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
But for a while last season, you thought it was him originally.
Especially because he looked really mysterious and stuff. You didn't think that PT would actually be like a
guy that.
Yeah. He looked like a wizard or Willy Wonka or something.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the monster. Let's talk about Giannis, who we finally have a name for. So Giannis is a science experiment, but not in the way that I thought he was going to be. Like, when they kept calling him an experiment, I assumed he wasn't a clone, but I assumed he was, like, born in a lab, and they just kept experimenting on him. And that seems to have not been the case at all, right?
Yeah, no, they got him as a child.
From a Latvian orphanage.
Yeah.
And they were testing the LIN-28A on him, which, okay, I googled it.
Yeah.
I still don't understand it, but it is an actual thing. So not that I ever doubt the science of Orphan Black, because usually outside of like advanced cloning stuff, even the cloning stuff, the science is right. They just advance it to like a certain point, right? They go, all right, well, we're going to take cloning and we're going to see what 20, 25 years, 30 years into like actually cloning people will look like and get this conclusion. You know, like there's always like real, real science behind the science fiction of what they're doing. And LIN-28A is an actual thing. It's an antigen, I think, if I read that right. If you're like really intelligent, you can go to Wikipedia and read the entry and be like, oh, that's incredible. But if you're like me, you go to Wikipedia and read the entry and you're like, I have no idea what the F this thing is talking about. So the science is there, and I'm sure, based on the history of the show, that what they're talking about is accurate, because it has to do with cancer stem cell research, carcinomas, rapid...
Are you just reading pieces from the wiki right now?
No, I had it in my notes. I made some notes. Rapid diagnostic tool for something about verification of tumors.
Pathological verification of embryonal tumor with multi-layered rosettes.
Well, there you go. I just wrote little notes. I didn't copy the whole entry. So
I just googled LIN-28A. It says big thing. It says it's an appropriate cancer stem cell target molecule for oral squamous cell carcinoma treatment. I'm not sure if that is actually pronounced squamous or not.
Which is what they're using it for on the little girl, right? They're manipulating her tumor with LIN-28A to make it seem like she's getting better. Even though it's not curing her, it's just manipulating the tumor.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised that in the definition it says inexpensive, because you would assume, if it's inexpensive, then maybe they've tried all, you know, the routes for that, and you would think maybe in this show, because he's so old and stuff, he's like, oh, there's a super rare, super expensive gene that we're trying to get. You know what I mean?
Well, inexpensive doesn't always mean legal. In fact, inexpensive usually means illegal, especially when you're talking about stuff like this. Unfortunately, I know just enough to get myself in trouble and sound like an idiot when it comes to like research like this, because few years ago, I'm not sure if people listen to this podcast are aware, but I spent some time in a hospital getting treated for cancer. So
that's the reason I'm on the show. I helped with it when you were gone.
I you know, would research things, look stuff up, and you know, it talks about like stem cell stuff. Well, for the most part, like stem cell research, like, is only legal up to a point. And the problem with stem cell stuff is, like, you can't, like, they've made it basically illegal to harvest stem cells, right? Because they were harvesting them from, like, embryos, like they're talking about. And so, like I said, I know enough to get me in trouble. I'm sure somebody could email or tweet or whatever and be like, you sound like an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. I completely
I'm
agree.
I'm surprised you had enough time to look it up when you were so busy with all your screenings of Iron Man 3 while you were in the hospital.
That was before cancer, wasn't it?
I just remember when you were in there, you said it was on TV all the time.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't Iron Man 3.
You said you watched it so many times it made you sick of it.
No, it wasn't Iron Man 3.
What was it?
It was Big Hero 6.
Oh, yeah.
See, Mina remembers. Mina's my friend. Mina's my friend, Tim.
I have a faint memory. If you say something about Big Hero 6, then yeah.
That's the start of your Mr. Robot podcast, basically.
Yeah, that's an interesting story. Because it was almost your Mr. Robot podcast, but somebody wanted to do a show about some show on Netflix that was really bad.
I gave it a shot. I did my best.
You could
have been a tiger. It's hard to beat a tiger.
So anyway, all of that. Go listen to all our other shows for all of that information. But yeah, when you're sitting in a bed in a hospital watching Big Hero 6 and Law and Order and Golden Girls on an endless loop, you just have a lot of time to just Google search stuff. So there's a lot of cancer research that kind of gets squashed based on just the legality of it, because but from the quote unquote playing God aspect of it, like once you start manipulating things, like how far is too far, like harvesting stem cells from embryos, like is that too far, you know? Because some people see it as like you're killing babies to like further scientific causes when that isn't, not that that didn't happen, but is not always specifically the case, because you can harvest stem cells from embryos, not children, not babies, not, you know, which we won't get into what constitutes a child, what doesn't. That's a whole other topic. So that comes up. That's the plan, apparently, is to harvest the eggs from Kira. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. So what they did, they experimented on that kid, and it didn't go well, right? So they kind of just kept him locked up. I don't think I still understand when he became the monster, because they keep saying up until like recently or whatever, he was still living up at the house, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess originally, you know, he was had a room upstairs and everything, and they went too far and he was getting violent. So then they put him in the basement. So we don't know how long he was down there. And I guess
I'm sure that didn't exactly help.
He was let out by Mud. I don't know how long he was in the basement.
So he's about, well, he's probably a little bit older than the clones, right?
Yeah, because it happened prior to the clones, and he was a kid, so he's definitely.
But it's not like 20 or 25 years older. It's maybe
just
10 years older or 12 years older or something like that. Okay, so yeah, the testing on him did not go well, and so, but apparently they still kept testing him even after the fact. But what they eventually wound up doing was, because the, if I'm understanding what they told us in the episode, because the LIN-28A testing with the person that they were testing it on, this kid, wasn't going well, the conclusion that they came to was to create, well, I guess that's when they found, what's her name? The crotchety old lady. Who had the dual?
Kendall Malone. She was a chimera.
Yeah, she cell had. Lines. So she had the two cell lines, which lent itself, I guess, better to cloning. And so they started creating their own clones and then implant, like weaving in the Lin 28A like into the clones themselves, right? Which I don't, I'm probably getting this wrong. Is that what makes them sick? Is the fact that they've been
No,
manipulated with
what
this
makes them
Lin
sick
28A
was
thing?
the they weren't supposed to be able to reproduce, so their whatever
That's
was
right. That's right.
that was told by them to them by what's his name? Duncan, the other Duncan.
Yeah. But so Lin 28A didn't really work in them either, even though it was like part of their cellular structure. So instead, what happened was when the twin clones who were able to give birth, Sarah gives birth to a child because that's passed along to her, then it becomes active as this mutant gene inside of her and allows her to, you know, heal quicker and all these other various like mildly, you know, X-Men kind of, you know, things. So their plan now is to take Kira, harvest her eggs, and then use that research to further the cause of using Lin 28A to allow themselves to live forever, essentially. I think I'm on the right track with all that. And that was a freaking mouthful. So, okay, so which is basically where we leave the episode. Right? 'Cause well, we get the gunshot, which was pretty shocking. P.T. Westmoreland just shoots Giannis in the head, which
So close to Cosima too. I was like, oh my God.
I
I mean,
mean,
I knew nothing was gonna happen, but
that's
it's
the end of
very
that story. So, all this build up for this monster, only for Westmoreland to just execute him. Like,
Like I liked how it ended up, but I wish that I mean, because of like, oh, we're 5 episodes in, I wish they did pace it better, which I guess we've been saying sort of the whole season, or I've been
yeah.
saying, I wish we had more episodes to explore him before he suddenly like he gets in the house and now he's dead, you
Either
know.
that or do it in episode two. Don't draw it out to the middle of the season. Like, either execute him 2 episodes in, or like, oh, he's not a monster, he's a dude. Oh, yeah, he's a dude we used to perform experiments on. Now we do him on you. Bam, bullet to the head. Instead, we draw it out for 5 episodes, and like, what does this mean for the clones? What doesn't mean anything, really, because he just shot him in the head. Unless we find out in like episode seven that like it did work and he heals himself and he like kills P.T. Westmoreland,
That's
then
what
so
I was
funny.
about to say, is like, are we for sure that he doesn't have healing powers that'll heal his brain back together?
Would be, I'm just imagining him coming back to life and just walking upstairs and like going after PT. That'd be so funny.
There's this Mina, did you ever watch The Office?
No.
Tim, you watch The Office, right?
Yes.
All right, there's an episode in the last season where Dwight's, I guess spoilers for The Office, Dwight's aunt dies. Dwight's like the nerdy dude with the glasses who's like annoying as hell, yeah. And he has all these like weird customs where they're at her funeral and Dwight's like, yeah, we've got a custom in our family, you know, 'cause we wound up burying a few shroots that turned out not to be dead. And so now we like to make sure that the body is definitely dead before we put it in the ground. So like there's all
My
these people standing around and he just picks up a shotgun, cocks it, and just fires into the casket and does it like 6 times.
Oh my gosh.
And so like I was thinking like, you know, like P.T. Westmoreland's like, well, I mean, you know, we got to make sure he's dead. So I'm going to shoot him in the head a few more times.
Was there a moment where when Cosima didn't shoot him and it just kind of like panned and showed the back of her head? Were you expecting her to get shot, or you see a gun to pull, like go up to the back of her head? There was just
No.
something about the way the shot was, like the
Oh
scene was
yeah.
shot. where like my heart skipped a beat and I was like, are we finally gonna see it? Is she gonna die like here?
If they saved her only to have him execute her, as much as I was like kind of ragging on her earlier, I would be pretty pissed.
Yeah.
Mina would come on only to rant the whole time and then never come on the podcast again.
I would be a little pissed at the show, just a tiny bit. Yeah, I just think it would be a pretty stupid move. So not only because I like Cosima, but it just like really.
And then you lose Delphine. Like, Delphine's doing this for Cosima. If Cosima's out, she's got no motivation to do anything.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? That's pretty much where the episode ends, right?
Yeah, that's where it's ends.
I will say, both of you, I guess, well, maybe, did you hear the end song, Logan, in the credits?
No, I didn't. It mine immediately cut to next time on Orphan Black, and I was like,
yeah,
nope,
I think click. Mine too.
Well, I didn't mean to. I scrolled down the website to make sure I had the right episode, and I did have something spoiled for me for next episode. But maybe y'all should, I guess, go like on BBC America's website and try to find, like, watch the end credits for there and that one with Allison. But at the end of this one, there was like a children's choir, and they were singing. Hold on, I just had the song pulled up a second ago. There's that song that they were, or the that they were reciting earlier in the show. We are all revival children.
Oh, they it played just, it at like, the end.
Well, it's like it was like a children's choir singing it. It was super creepy.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I'll have to go and see. Yeah, they didn't air it on BBC America, the TV.
Yeah. Children's choirs are always kind of inherently creepy if they sing anything. Yeah. So.
Well, especially if they're singing the song about all being revival children, you know.
Yeah.
Like, oh gosh, we're on the island.
I didn't bring this up when we were talking earlier on, like for the title of the episode and everything. The Ease for Idle Millionaires is maybe the most aptly named title episode of the series, like period. Because like that party, that's all that's about. Like these idle millionaires, like just getting like. Extending their life off the backs of other people, you know? And I was like, well, that's a really great title for this episode. So, yeah, it was a really, really good episode. So much stuff just, like, launched at us that I don't think there's any show I watch besides Orphan Black that makes me wish I wasn't so stupid. Like, no other show do I watch and be like, man, I wish I wasn't so dumb. Like, I can put on an episode of The Walking Dead and make myself feel like, I feel like the smartest person alive when I watch that show. There's, like, so many people watching love that show, and I'm like, this is dumb. These people are dumb. Nobody would act this way. What are they doing? They're all dumb. And I watch Orphan Black, and I'm like, boy, I'm an idiot.
No, I love shows that don't, you know, that don't compromise their whatever, their smartness, I guess.
They don't talk like, down.
What is Rory doing? Why is she back with Logan again? Stop, Rory, stop.
But yeah, just, I don't know, like, I probably mentioned on the podcast before this season about my love for Gilmore Girls, but like, Gilmore Girls is filled with a million references, and I know a little more now than I did when I was in eighth grade when I started watching the show. So it's cool when I catch things now, but like, I watched the whole thing. I knew like hardly any references, but I love that they don't have to stoop to the level of references that everyone would know. You know, it's smart like that. It makes you look up stuff and think, and the same with this show, you know, it's all the science. I don't know what they're talking about, but it's cool. And
I type in Lynn 28A in my Google search, and it says, did you mean, like, chocolate-covered popcorn?
Yeah.
You know? Like, you're not this intelligent. You must have mistyped something. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, this show is, that is one thing I'm going to miss. And I know there are other shows on TV that are smart and, you know, make you feel dumb just by how smart they are. But none that I, can get as passionate about as I am about Orphan Black. So when I do rag on the show, it's because I absolutely freaking love the show and I'm going to miss it so damn much. But yeah, I guess I should watch or read somebody's column that explains stuff to me before we record, so like maybe I can sound smarter, but I think me being stupid is just kind of part of the show at this point. Tim.
Yes.
Since we're mostly, I don't know, did you have anybody have anything else to add about the show before I asked Tim this all important question?
My big thing was just the credit song. I just wanted to make sure to bring that up.
I will go watch the creepy children singing.
Well, that, and you should also go look up the Allison and Donnie singing the other episode.
I mean, you should go look up Delphine's nipples, but I mean, we're not. We're talking about things you got to look up online. So.
Go watch multiple of her movies. You'll see more than that. So.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a she's
big... Nina did her homework.
She's not a shy one, then.
Okay, yeah.
Then it was just... Then it probably wasn't like, can we film that with another bra? It was probably more people have seen my boobs. No.
Yeah, I was... the reason why I was surprised was because of it's this show, but I wasn't surprised because it was her, because, yeah, I mean, there's a movie, Café de Flore... my horrible French pronunciation, but that she did in, like, I think it's, like, 2012, and, I mean, there's been a few others, too, but, yeah, she's very, very nude in it, so.
Is that on Netflix?
Not unusual for her. It used to be, but, yeah, but it's taken off now for, like, a short time it was.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Nina will let you know when it's back on.
I said I didn't want to sound like that pervy dude, but now I totally sound like that pervy
dude. It's okay.
So Tim.
Yes.
It made $112 gajillion at the box office this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everybody I know keeps talking about how freaking awesome it is. How was Spider-Man Homecoming?
I mean, it was pretty amazing. It was pretty spectacular. You know, just throw around a few words.
Did you get caught up in the web?
In the web? yeah, I mean, yeah, I had a blast seeing it. I've seen it twice. I would have seen it three times tomorrow, but my brother's out of town, so I gotta wait for him to get back in town.
So, for the first time in... I honestly don't know how long. I did not see a comic book movie on opening weekend.
You didn't see it this weekend?
I honestly cannot tell you the last time I didn't see a comic book movie, especially a big one, especially a Marvel one.
You saw Transformers the last night on the Thursday opening.
Okay, so
here, and you didn't see Spider-Man.
Here's the thing, man. Was a few things. A, my dad was in the hospital this weekend in Atlanta, so I decided to go to Atlanta and spend the weekend with him in the hospital. So, he's okay, beyond the usual things that are happening with him. He's okay, he just had to be in the hospital. So, I did that, like, you know, to make myself feel better about myself. I did spend a lot of my time in the hospital room going like, you know, I could go see Spider-Man. He's asleep.
I mean, I'm honestly surprised. Even if he was awake, it's kind of like, you know, it's...
I'm going to take off for a couple hours and go see Spider-Man.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, unless you're strapped to bed and you're in the moment, I mean, it's kind of hard to, like, stay in a sort of positive mindset, you know.
Yeah.
At least for me, it's like, I can't stand being there just because I feel like I have no power there.
Yeah, it's pretty tough.
It's
pretty tough. But so I did that. I could have went Friday night because I didn't actually go see him until Saturday and spent the day up there Sunday.
I mean, you could have gone Thursday night. But the opening. Patrick forgot it came out.
Oh, my God. Patrick sucks. So the other thing is I made a promise to my niece, Jordan, who has been talking incessantly for months about this movie. She was like, you gotta take me to go see it. You gotta take me to go see it. Please go see it with me. I promised her that we would go see it, and I feel like the experience is, while I wish I would have seen it before so I can be like, ooh, watch this, ooh, watch this. Like, I feel like that experience of seeing, of us both seeing it for the first time is going to be better because we're both seeing it for the first time. So I decided that, like, okay, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to go visit my dad. And then I'm going to do the right thing again and wait and watch it with her for the first time. So I'm the your endorsement makes me feel a lot better. So
So, when are you seeing this movie?
next weekend, this coming weekend. So I'll be in Columbus on Friday. I'll probably go see it sometime Saturday. So,
Cool
but
beans.
hopefully my dad, we might actually get him in the wheelchair into the theater and to go see the movie. So, because he's a huge Spider-Man fan. So.
I will say, I don't know. I don't know if you know anyone that has seen it. Do you know anyone that's going to be seeing it on the screen you'll have seen it on? Does that make sense?
Yes and no.
Basically, I saw it in on our IMAX screen because they had a 10 o'clock 2D IMAX showing in Columbus. So I saw it there, and it was amazing, spectacular, beautiful. And then I saw it on a big D up in Auburn, and I don't know if it was a light bulb. I don't know what it was, but it was honest. It was pretty. I felt bad. My friends were with me watching it because the screen was so dark that you couldn't see anything happening. Like it was something with that light. Because like I said, I saw it the night before, and it was perfect the whole entire movie. So maybe make sure you see it IMAX if possible, or not at the Tiger 13 up in Auburn.
Well, we're not going to Auburn, so we don't have to worry about that. So,
If you're seeing the Big D, if you know anyone that saw it there, make sure they have a go ahead for it kind of thing. But it's great, and there's a mid scene and an after credit scene. So
well, I always stay. You know, I always stay.
yeah,
So,
we have different opinions on that, but anyways.
I like to appreciate the work of all the people that made the movie and watch the credits. Unlike some people who are like, there's no after credit scene, bump this. Forget all these people that just put their blood, sweat, and tears into this movie that I greatly enjoyed. Now, if it's a crap movie, I will get up and leave.
And I know that the people that made the movie know other people aren't going to stay, and that the theater workers like to try to come in there and get stuff cleaned up or whatnot.
They
But
get paid by the hour, they'll be all right.
I'm just saying. Anyways, where can we find you at, Logan?
I'm on Twitter at Deadpool1979, DEDPOOL1979.
I'm on Twitter at Timothée, TIMOTHAY. And where can we find you, Mina?
I am on Twitter at Mina Ann, MINAANNE.
And we'll be back next week talking about, oh my God, the first of the last five episodes of
Yep.
season five of Orphan Black. So depressing. And I will have seen Spider-Man by then, so I might weigh in on it.
So what happens if on the final finale episode they don't tie up all these loose ends, and in the commercial after the credits it's like a movie coming out next year?
I will be so happy, but also mad at the same time. You know how you ever watch like you watch network TV, and at the end of every episode, there's always those like cards of like the production companies. You know what I'm talking about? With like the goofy sayings or the what's his name? Used to have one, the one Bad Hat Harry Productions, and it'd just be the guy saying, "That's one bad hat, Harry." I feel like Orphan Black should go back in and just add that with Tim's voiceover on the production company, just saying.
Keep on cloning.
There you go. Was a long setup.
Yeah.
That's one bad setup, Luke.
Oh, man. Okay.